The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Vincent Finelli sitting in for John Stabmiller. Today's date is January 16th, 2020. And Vincent, going to go ahead and let you finish up with your story before the commercial break there.
Okay, so there was this dump that we were trying to stop, and nothing worked. Radio, television, news coverage, ads in the paper, petitions, meetings, county meetings, nothing worked. And it didn't matter how many of us there were. I mean, we had standing room only wherever we went, but we couldn't stop it. So what happened is a group, and a very small group, very small group. Now, this group could have been one person. It could have been two people. It could have been 10. And I'm not going to tell you how many, but it was a group. And what they did was they took different kinds of paper, 8.5 by 11 copier paper, printer paper, notebook paper, all kinds of paper, all kinds of pens and pencils. And they addressed each piece of paper. They folded it in three, so it became about the size of a standard number 10 envelope. And nothing was written on the inside. It was folded. Some of them were stapled. Some of them were taped. Some of them were glued. And on the outside, they were addressed to the county supervisors. That would be the county government types, the alleged representatives. And let's say the guy's name was Joe Doakes. It was addressed to Joe Dump Doakes. Joe Dump Doakes. And it would have his home address where his wife would see it. It would have, some were sent to the business. Some of them were like insurance office people. Some of them had small shops, small stores. So they were sent to their homes, their business addresses, and their official part-time county government address. And they were mailed within about a week. So within 1 week, these guys got about 500 spread across the seven of them. And it was Joe Dump Doakes. No return address whatsoever. And on the back, in really large letters, you're fired. That was the entire communique. You're fired.
Sounds like Donald Trump. You're okay. Fired.
Well, this was before Donald Trump. And so maybe he heard about it. Well, this worked because they had at the next meeting, and by the way, they were sent from all the different post office boxes where you drop the mail in those blue boxes, you know, outside, from all over the county. And some were in green ink, blue ink, red ink, pencil, thick pencil, crayon, wide pencils, every color you could think of in all different kinds of handwriting. They looked different. And at one meeting, since I was the point person, at one meeting, after those were sent, one of the key criminals who wanted to have this dump on top of an aquifer in the rural area of Virginia, this guy was literally shaking. He had a whole handful of these, and he was shaking. He said, who's sending these? Where are these coming from? Who are these people? Because they had no idea. Now, 500 of them, at today's postage rate of 55 cents, plus 1 cent for each piece of paper would equal $280. Now, there's another component to this, and that was that people would see these alleged representatives in the supermarket with their wives and children, and they would point to them. They would stand behind them. Oh, there he is, and point. That's him. That's him. Point, point, point. That's her. That's his wife. Those are his children. That's him. That's her. Until they turned around and they saw the pointing. And the pointing continued when they saw it. And then it happened at church. They would go to church and they would see people pointing at them, looking at them, staring at them, like they were the enemy. And you know what? The next meeting, they announced that it would be in the best interest of the county not to pursue the landfill, the dump. And that's how it was done.
Interesting. Very good, very good. So, Vincent, let me give you an example of when I lived in Utah, double dipping I saw. It's funny, I mentioned this to my neighbors, and they just didn't seem to care. I don't quite understand. They did understand that that doesn't seem right, but the system they had in Utah set up for recycling, they give you, well, they would bring out a recycling container. It's a rather big one. You pay for it. It's like $16 a month. You actually pay to recycle. So they would pick up your belongings once a week, and then they would turn around and sell it to another recycler and make double the money here. So kind of a double dipping situation. Out here, it's free of charge. They just bring it out. I fill this thing up to the max. My trash is very little. My recyclable is huge. And I always felt pretty good about that, and I was doing this in California also, very conscious of trying to keep the planet cleaner. I just want to leave it better than when it came. So I've always been very conscious of what I use and how I can recycle and put it to other use. Like you said, the coffee grounds and the garden, that's what I do with mine. And the plants just love it. I have a great plants just really thrive on that soil with the coffee grounds. And, but there's things we could be doing. We're not. And I'm always, like I said, I'm really angry with the short-sightedness of these little wars. They kind of pick here and there, but they really don't target on the major part of the problem here. They kind of dabble. They dabble in their little wars. A straw here, you know, a little paper plastic bag here, something else here. And they don't really make a significant impact on the wars they claim to be trying to, start to make the environment better, more friendly, cleaner. And I think it's just a scam, and I'm not sure how to even change it. I've gone to town council meetings. I brought up ideas, and they just look at you like, no, we've already got it worked out. But their plans never are very good for the environment. Not at all. Let's talk about this big giant floating piece of garbage out in the ocean. It's in the Pacific Ocean. It's about the size of Texas. Now, I don't know. Don't you think this is worth some money, some cash money here on this big floating island of plastic, Vincent? Some money right there? It's a big chunk of money.
Well, it always takes less energy to dispose of whatever it is where it's being used than to throw it in the ocean and then go find it. So it has to be scooped up, then it would have to be separated. And so is it all the same kind of plastic? Probably not. Is it netting? Is it bottles? Yeah, probably. What else is it? I don't know. Rope? So it's a problem we'd have to hire people to separate it. It would be a lot easier if it were done the way it should be, so that each person that consumes whatever is in that container or bag separates it correctly at their location, and then it is brought to a recycling center for further compacting and then melting or whatever it's done with it. But an interesting story. In Virginia, in the same county, we had a series of dumpsters. It was behind the businesses on Main Street. And there were three dumpsters side by side by side, and they'd get picked up once a week. So 24 hours a day, you could just throw whatever you wanted to throw out in these dumpsters. But then somebody had a bright idea. We needed to have what was called a convenience center. And the convenience center, they hired a guy to oversee what people threw out and make sure they threw it in the right container. Because everything went into these three dumpsters, then it would get hauled to a landfill, probably near Richmond, Virginia. So the idea was, well, there's glass. We can recycle glass, and we can have different colored glass. So the colored glass would go in one bin. The white or the clear would go in another bin. Browns would be separated from, I guess browns and greens go together. And then all other colors other than clear would go in a third. And you had to wash out your bottles. So if you had wine bottles or pasta sauce jars, you'd wash them out, separate the lids. The lids would go in the landfill because they're metal. And the jars and bottles would go in one of the three bins based on color. And so I asked the guy who was running the show, and he would direct you where to bring what when you went to get rid of your trash. I asked him, so where do all these recycled bottles go that have been all cleaned out? He said, well, they go in the same hole as all the rest of the trash in Richmond. So the village was conned, the county was conned into thinking that they were doing a good thing by washing out their bottles, separating by color, and, you know, wow, what a great thing they were doing.
Yeah.
But they were lied to. It was all going into the same hole, in the same landfill.
Right. You know, I found out down here in Florida, they've been doing this for a long time. Back in the 70s, I remember they were crushing up shells and bottles, filling it, putting in as filler with their asphalt, and they would pave their roads at nighttime. The lights would, the road would really light up. It was kind of nice. But my little story, you know, I underestimated the weight when I told you that story earlier today about my being conscious of my bottles. I had a huge collection of wine bottles, champagne bottles. When I moved to Sonoma County, I decided to take the job as a travel nurse there because I wanted to learn more about wine. And turned out I ended up liking it more than I thought and ended up making wine and becoming a winemaker, even starting my own winery. But I had a collection. I'm going to say I underestimated the weight. I had about 150 bottles in about a year and a half. I had a lot of people come over and have a bottle of wine. And after a while, it just kind of accumulated. And I put them on the balcony there on my patio downstairs. And I had a huge crate and I was just throwing them in there. And I got to a point where I said, you know, I'm going to recycle these and do something good. May not make too much on it, or I may just, I don't even know if they're going to give me any money at all on these bottles. So I made several trips and I went over to the recycling center, which was nearby, loaded up my SUV, brought them over, and they sorted them, the colored glass from the clear glass, gave me a slip, and I'm thinking it must have been right around 300 pounds. And I walked over and handed the woman a slip, and she opened up a little tin box, and she gave me $2.50 for about 300 pounds of glass. Now, I didn't make any money on the deal, but I was doing a good thing to get rid of the glass and recycle it. But I think if they were to make some kind of incentive, give some much better financial incentive, we would have less trash, no doubt about it. I mean, we got money for war. We got plenty of money for other things that are not necessary. You know how I feel about war. But we could do a lot better with recycling if they made a better financial incentive for people actually cleaning up and taking things in and recycling them. And $250 was not much at all. But the bottom line is I felt pretty good about it. Didn't end up in a landfill. It was going to be recycled somewhere in California there, and not sure what they're going to do with it. But in Florida, we crush it up and we put it in our roads, and the roads sparkle at night. It's pretty nice. Good filler.
So you mentioned you started a winery in California. Mm-hmm. We started one in Virginia. Yep. I didn't know that you did that. And yep. We had lots of wine bottles too. And one of the most ridiculous things that I see is that wine bottles are not recycled. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Another thing that's crazy is that jars and bottles are not standardized. If they were, they could all be recycled. You could have maybe 20 different sizes of jars, all the same shape, 20 different size, not 20, maybe 5 different wine bottles. Obviously, champagne would be a little different, but that could be standardized. And there's no reason why wine bottles can't be reused. No reason whatsoever. They wash out really well. I mean, yeah. when you bottled wine, you had to wash out every bottle anyway.
Yep, I did.
You had to wash it out and sterilize it, even if it were a brand new bottle.
Yep.
You had to.
And
to disinfect it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't see any reason why wine bottles, well, we can make them all green or all brown or not necessarily clear, but or just have three different colors and maybe quarts and fifths, maybe gallons, and that's it. Why do some wine bottles have to have grapes on the side? Why do they have to be different shapes? If we would standardize and tell companies, well, yeah, we know that it'd be really nice that so you can be individualized in your presentation of your bottle. Yeah, but no, you can't do it because it is harmful to the planet, and we're building Mount Trashmores everywhere.
Yeah. Well, a big part of winemaking nowadays, it's changed so much since I was in the business. Vincent, I can tell you now, marketing the bottle itself, the decoration, the artwork on the bottle is what sells the wine most times nowadays. I mean, it's that's actually, to me, that's actually taking away from the quality. I know when somebody goes to this much trouble to put this kind of artwork on a bottle of wine, probably what's inside is probably subpar wine. I've seen a lot of that, and there's a new generation of kids that are actually going after now, which is really killing the industry itself of winemaking, quality wine. I enjoyed it and hope to get back into it maybe next year. I'm going to be making whites down here in Florida, probably from the Muscat grape, but I'm going to tweak it to make it more of a Sauvignon Blanc. If I can do that using a little chemistry and science here, I'm going to try to make it more like a Sauvignon Blanc. And I miss it terribly. That's one of the things I do miss about California. That's pretty much all I miss about California, and the beauty of seeing the wineries and the fermentation during the crush season. I miss all that, but it wasn't worth it for me to stay. Phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. Tell us what's in your area. Is your area conscious of recycling? Or are they just wasting? Have you taken on these people before, gone to the town councils and suggested, can we do better? Are they listening? Are they not listening? Give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. Our first call coming out of Texas, Roxanne, you're on the show. Hello, Roxanne. And,
well, you talked about coffee earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to do is take the Melita filter. I boil hot water and I pour it over coffee. You know that? And then you can recycle that. You know that?
Okay.
In the Great Depression, what people were doing is exactly that. They were reusing the coffee grounds. They would dry them out, and they would add a little fresh coffee grounds to the coffee grounds that they just used the day before.
This finale,
to make them last longer.
Phenomenal. You're a phenomenal guy. And you know what? We have to reimburse each other or reintake each other or know each other that we get this. I mean, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science, number one. So, I'm helping a gal pal. She's 77. She has 41 acres of land. And these people, you know, because she's on a project that is coming up from the port of Freeport, Texas, and she's making loads of money. She's already paid back for 2 acres of her land, what she bought it for in 92. Let's go there. Okay. They're trying to widen the road, and it's going to have to take people's property to get that. We get that. And I'm trying to manage. I don't know anything about this. And she and my husband are trying to help us do all this. We're not lawyers. We're not trained or any of that. Oh, am I going to a break?
Yeah, yeah, got the music here. Hold on, Roxanne. We'll be right back after a short commercial break. This is the National Intel Report.
Empty faces. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We were children in garden. Well, the flowers kissed the sky. And the birds sang out.
And we are back. Getting tired of that song. Robin Trower, James Doerr. Benny, you got a question for Roxanne?
I've got a quick comment for Roxanne. You mentioned eminent domain, the theft of property by the corporation. And what they do is they, eminent domain, they take property for what they claim is a higher and better use, which really means more revenue through commerce. The corporations have been stealing land, starting with the Indians. Well, if you want to reverse this, you probably have a shot by using the method I described with the 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and a first class postage stamp. That's how you do it.
Yes. Yeah. And or, you know, the Spanish people don't even get what happened in the U.S., the Spanish came here and took all the Indians. And I can tell you, level 33, they took, the Spanish came into the United States in the 1600s and made the Indians slaves. and or they didn't kill him. Do you know about that?
Roxanne, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this? Call back another time. Get some notes in front of you. And we can bang out or hammer out a solution for whatever the issue is. But, hey, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Roxanne. We go back to the phones here. Chance in West Virginia, you're on the show.
Yes,
hey, Chance.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Vince. You know, I read, it had to be maybe 20 or 25 years ago, what a racket and a hoax this recycling program is that they hoisted on the American people. You know, I lived up in the Northeast, and I lived in a state with the highest property taxes in the nation. And I kid you not, you had to keep five different recyclable containers in your kitchen. You had to recycle at least five different types of items and rinse them out and clean them out. And my problem is this, like you said before, Steve, what they do is they charge you these high property taxes, and they make you use your water to rinse these things out. Now, my water rates here in West Virginia went up three times last year. I'm thinking of having a well drilled. I have a septic tank. I'm thinking of having a good, it's just a principle thing. And I'm saying to myself, the water rates go up, they make you rinse these out. They make you do all this, and I heard it's run so inefficiently that I got to say to myself, if they offered people tax credits for doing this, I think it would make more sense. Offer them some kind of discount program on their property taxes, but no, everything the government touches and foists upon us is a racket. Because if you notice, big corporations pollute the air, dump all this crap in the water, and they get away with everything. It's just another way to make fools of us, I believe, and just to make us subservient to them, and they make money on this. We don't really benefit. I like both you guys' ideas on this point.
Well,
let me
already,
go first real quick here,
about,
Vincent.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say maybe it's time, and I've said this quite a few times, I think it's time to get rid of the EPA. They certainly aren't doing their job. Vincent and I talked earlier today, and I said, Vincent, are they still having the problem with the lead in the water in Michigan, Flint, Michigan? Yes. So.
Wow.
And the only reason we found out about this was because of a whistleblower. This whistleblower was not attacked like other whistleblowers, but we found out because of a whistleblower, people cheating, people fudging the paperwork. Why is there lead in the water? Shouldn't be.
Exactly.
But it is, and it's not fixed. It's still a problem. It's a racket. So if the EPA can't do their job and they're not there to protect us and watch the water and other things, then why are we still funding them? Why is Donald Trump, this is the first time we're going to say politics here, why is Donald Trump not dismantled the EPA and found an agency who actually cares about the quality of our water, the quality of our air, the quality of our food. I don't know why this agency is still here. I have no clue why it's still here.
And Steve, here's another point. You're drinking that water with the lead in it, and then when you reach your elderly years and you wind up with senile dementia or Alzheimer's, you can't hold nobody responsible. I mean, see, they got us over barrel. This is such a damn racket. I get angry. Anything government touches or any of these public utilities, they are all crooks.
Vincent, your comments.
There's a story. It's really an interesting story. Dutch Boy Paints, owned by NL Industries, National Lead. And the village in Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
Mike, let's kill this break.
They were furious. The village was furious with National Lead's polluting the air. Well, one guy climbed up the smokestack with a parachute, and he put the parachute over the smokestack and backed up the smokestack to force the people who were inside the factory to evacuate the factory. Now, that is an activist.
Yes, I sort of remember that because that's the state, unfortunately, I'm originally from. And talk about that's pollution.
That's called the Garden State.
Yeah, the most misappropriately named state in the country. You could smell it when you drive down a New Jersey turnpike, even when your window is rolled up, you cough and gag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be from New Jersey, you know.
Excuse me?
You can be from New Jersey. You can be from New Jersey.
Well, I'm glad I escaped that cesspool of a state, to be honest with you, for many, many reasons I don't even want to get into, because I'll keep you on the phone for 3 hours. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for letting me speak.
You know, I almost had to move to New Jersey, Vincent. Would have lived in Montclair, New Jersey, near Nutley, New Jersey. And thank God that relationship didn't make it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to move there. Good thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the phones here. Dave in Illinois, you're on the show.
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. You're bringing up this the recycling, the bags and the recycling. There was 2 points I was going to earlier point, and then the later one here in a minute. But
sure.
Now, when I was growing up, I went to Michigan. They sent me to Michigan to kind of hide me out there. And I was surprised because that was one of the areas I was at was very clean. And then when I went to the grocery store, I found out why. Everything they had a deposit on, even cans. I don't know if that's still that way now. But, I mean, pretty much anything you bought that could be redone, you paid a deposit on. Didn't see that.
That's another scam. You're right. That's another scam. You recycle it, and you've paid for it again. Right.
Well, yeah, in Michigan, they have an automatic barcode reader. You just drop, if you buy cans of soda, like let's say a six pack, you pay 10 cents a can. And then when you're done with them, you bring them back to that store and they've got a recycling cyclone. And you just drop it in. It detects that you're dropping it in. It scans it and it gives you your money, 10 cents per can. It's actually a really good system. I like it. David says, you're not going to see a single can anywhere. Thrown on the side of the road because if it were, somebody would pick it up for the 10 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
homeless.
That's what I was doing when I found out there was recycling on everything. I'm like, here, really? You know, so I started walking up and down everywhere out in the country and I didn't find nothing.
David, can I ask you a favor? I was telling Steve Elkins today about Camp Lejeune and the water pollution.
Oh.
Would you mind sharing that story briefly?
Yeah. But then after, I'll make a point about the bags, if it's
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Camp Lejeune. That's when my father first got involved with the government and the Marines. And this was right, I was born, but they had a miscarriage right before me. They had known that there was contamination in the waters. It was so bad, they had put tape to keep people away from the water fountains, anything. And it was supposed to be so bad where if you even took a bath for a really short amount of time, I mean, the levels that they came out with, I don't remember them all because this stuff, you'll probably find it in Stars and Stripes because that's where they were writing about it a lot. And they believe that could be one of the things that caused all my problems, mine and actually Dee, we have similar issues. She was from Chinook Air Base, which you had a lady on your show about that. Chinook Air Base, about the contamination there. But they knew about it. You know, and then you got the kids being born, and now we're human, we're child guinea pigs. You know, and that's just that. They, you know, some of it may have been prevented if they would have said, hey, maybe this is what caused your child to have these problems. You know,
David,
but no.
I just lost a dear friend to massive cancer and a very, very close friend. He spent his training time at Camp Lejeune, and he told me, I said, how did you get your cancer? He said, I know where I got it, Camp Lejeune. And then I did the research, and then you called into USA Prepares, and we talked about it. What were you going to tell us about the plastic bags?
Oh, now I do talk quite a bit to truckers that pick up the recycling containers, and I asked him the big recycling, and they take it to a recycling point, and it is a scam. He said they're rolling in the money. But I asked him about the bags. He said, we hate those bags. The reason you see them everywhere is because we don't take them. We'll pull them out of the trash dumpsters, the recycle dumpsters, because they gum up the machines that they have to use. So they got to sit there and cut off all these, you know, all this material from the bags to get their equipment to work. And, you know, you talked about the Chinese outlet. They don't have, and they'll give you the bags they give you, how many they give you, it's ridiculous. Like our grocery store will have a dumpster there specifically for the bags. So that, you know, that is, that they know how to handle that. But when they're throwing it in everyone else's dumpsters and they take it and dump it in these sorting centers for recycling, it just gums up all their equipment, he said. I was kind of surprised, you know, because I see them all over the place, too.
I appreciate it, Dave. We've got some other callers waiting patiently waiting.
Yeah, I do. Let's get
thanks
to
for calling.
I'm going to let, Keith Rogers sent us over a couple articles before the show here, and I know he's going to probably go into government is the worst in polluting, not only here in this country here, but abroad, and I'm sure he's going to talk about that. So I'm going to let Keith Rogers go into that a little bit. Keith, welcome to the show.
Oh, good evening, guys. Hey, one thing real fast. I want to play this for you.
We need an energy bill that encourages consumption.
George Bush, when you think of a convenience store, you think of all those plastic bottles. What is plastic made from? Oil. What did Trump just recently say? Oil, oil, oil. This is how America is fed to believe that. That's why you see all these play school toys along the curbs that are all broken and stuff. They get thrown into these landfill places. As long as you're a consumer, that's what drives the wars and everything like that, to justify whatever material needs that you think you need. The U.S. military, of course, being the biggest polluter, you have to keep all these vassal states in subjection, just as much as whenever you see the U.S. policy from the State Department, whether it's Ecuador or what like that, it's always based with oil or petroleum type or pesticides, which is all based on oil.
That's true. Keith, you want to go into real fast here what we were talking about over in Iraq and Afghanistan, what's polluting the soil over there, what we've dumped?
Yeah, like the depleted uranium. You know, it isn't so bad. Uranium in itself, it resides everywhere, except like a lot of Americans don't realize this. But when you think about the poor Iraqis and stuff that have had their lives shattered with their poisoned water and stuff, you have to think of the Lakota and the Navajo Indians. It was uranium mined from their reservations. And from that there, I mean, they too have been suffering from the war addiction, as well as the chemical dumps that the United States maintains through New Mexico and everything like that. And this is to keep this war machine going. You have to think, when a politician is told that they want to do this or that in a certain state, all these big, huge corporations have to do is say, you know, if you enact this law, we're going to pull 38,000 jobs from your state. And that's how they keep these guys in as subordinates, to keep them on a policy.
Yeah, I agree.
Trade
Vincent,
consumerism.
Comment?
Yeah. The big one that I'm thinking of right now is the ticking time bomb is Fukushima. All of these storage containers for liquid radioactive waste. Well, the government of Japan is saying it's a big problem. We're running out of space. So we're just going to let it loose in the ocean. All of the oceans are interconnected. And interesting story out of university in Virginia Technical Institute. They had monitored their wells. Now, they have freshwater wells. And there was a tsunami in the across the Atlantic, and the force of that tsunami was so great, and we're talking about ocean water, the force of that tsunami was so great that it forced up the water column of a water well at Virginia Tech up 100 feet until it receded. So that tells us without a doubt that the ocean water is connected to the underground aquifers of potable drinking water. Now, if all the oceans are connected and Japan releases radioactive waste in the oceans, it will spread to all the oceans around the globe.
Yeah.
I had a chemistry professor, Chemistry 101, and he is a very large class, like 500, 550 people in the class. And he held up this quart jar, and he said, this is red dye. So it's like a mason jar. And he said, now, if we take this quart of red dye and we dump it in the ocean, we stir it around and mix it up top to bottom, left to right, and then we take an empty quart jar anywhere in any ocean, we'll get at least one molecule of red dye or one atom of red dye. How about that?
Hey, can I interject something on there?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Sure.
The... There's several articles on this of the radioactive waste, which is 1,000 times higher than what Chernobyl was, is from a U.S. nuclear facility down there in Australia. They call it the Dome, which was from the 1970s, which contains waste from the massive atomic bombs, which is no different than the Marshall Islands, which John Pilger goes into that in the video, The Coming War on China. But you have to really think of all of these nuclear storage things, as well as with atomic energy. They have to get rid of these radioactive rods, and of course that's where your depleted uranium comes, and that's why it's so highly radioactive.
And they use them because they're so heavy. It's a lot of mass in that projectile, much more than lead. Keith,
that's right.
Are you familiar with Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania? Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened in Three Mile Island is there was a meltdown. And they didn't admit it. They saw it was just a little accident. And no, it's just steam. They're just releasing some steam. It's okay. I was there. I was near there. And I put our family in the house, and we stayed inside for days, sealed the house up. I didn't care about going out. I didn't care about going to work. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about anything. We were staying home because this was that serious. I believed it. And I talked to a chemist, and he said, oh, no, it's just steam. It's radioactive steam. Well, here's what happened. 10 years later, I saw a news piece, a special, and these guys were downwind from Three Mile Island. And there's a nuclear reactor there. It's been shut down. Well, the village, you know, a little neighborhood, they showed the lawns, and they showed dandelion leaves on the neighborhood lawns that would stretch from the tip of your finger to your shoulder. I'm talking about dandelion leaves. Everybody had a household with at least one person with some kind of cancer. Every single house, none accepted. And that was, well, you know, the government, the news, everybody said, no, it's okay. It's just steam. It's radioactive steam. So there was we're talking about doublespeak on USA Prepares and how language is twisted. And it's, you can't really figure out exactly what they're saying. And there was a thought that there was a nuclear release, a nuclear problem with a reactor in the last week or so. And the reports were no abnormal release of radioactivity, no abnormal, meaning it's okay. But what they're not saying is, oh, we do it all the time. So this wasn't any worse. It's just, you know, no abnormal release. We have to read carefully and listen to the words carefully and hold the people accountable who are responsible for these horrific acts of ecocide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's other things here, like that San Onofre plant down there in California, which is leaking. It's right on the ocean. We have over here in Washington State the Hanford nuclear reactor there. And, of course, you can Google there places around Kennewick, Yakima, of babies being born without brains. Those people that have gone public have
later on go on to be politicians.
Yeah.
Right, Keith?
But, you know, but, you know, this goes
they later
to
go on to be politicians. Yeah.
Keith, you talked about
Hanford.
You talked about Hanford. Mrs. Finelli will not buy fruit from Washington State and has not for the last 30 years at least because of the Hanford Reservation. Here's what happened. So they had all these leaking containers, these 55-gallon drums that leaked radioactive liquids onto the ground. And then what happened is wild animals would walk on the ground and they'd eat the grasses and the weeds, and they would uptake the radioactive waste and they would poop and pee it out, and these animals would travel farther and farther and farther away from the Hanford Reservation and poop and pee this radioactive waste. So the area is getting more and more and more contaminated, and it's not contained, it's expanding.
Yeah,
so keep right. that in mind. And you're absolutely right. Absolutely right about the Hanford Reservation. And that was one of the places that was one of the principal places for the construction of the materials used for the nuclear bombs or atomic bombs of World War II that we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan.
That they dropped on them. Another thing that people don't realize is the fact that this is why they hate off-grid living, is because if you're not paying into a power company that has to pay, that has been fined for cleanup like that, that's why they hate these off-grid livers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Keith, thanks for your call. Check
yeah,
out
no problem.
His
Take
show,
care of yourself,
Perception
Keith.
Management, on Sundays following my show. And I need to move on to another caller here in West Virginia. Al, you're on the show. Al dropped. Well, darn it. Okay. I don't know why people drop. What we just talked about that today, didn't we, Vinny? Why do people drop?
Yeah, we did. And
why do they
drop? I've got to tell you, it's a little different when I'm on in the mornings on GCN. I have a call screen, and I can see the call ringing. Like, Steve, you and I can't see the calls coming in. What we see is a communications platform where Mike, our engineer, answers the calls and then lets us know who's on, you know, who's holding. And then we just tell Mike and he puts the call on the air. Well, at USA Prepares, I have a call screen. I can see how long calls are waiting. And they'll wait like 20, 30 minutes. Literally.
Yeah.
So it gives.
Well, Al, if you're listening, call back. We won't punish you for dropping. Maybe you had a good reason to drop. I don't know. But I like to stay on. I wish you had, but okay. I'm glad we talked about that depleted uranium that we are exporting actually in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've destroyed that country in many ways. But let's talk about the carbon credits, the scam of carbon credits industry. I got to say that I think Donald Trump is one of the worst environmental presidents that we have. I did not like Barack Obama, but I do understand, reading through some of his passed in his legislation, that he actually was a better environmental president than what we have currently here. I think he's doing a miserable job. I think he's very pro-corporate, very pro-industry, not for setting standards, EPA standards, high-quality standards from EPA. Like I said, I do believe they should be dissolved anyway. But he doesn't appear to stand for clean environment. Very disappointed. He could do much, much better. Vincent?
Yeah.
Your comment?
And he's rolled back. Now, this is one of the things that Keith sent us, Keith Rogers, and headlines on EcoWatch. Trump okays emergency use of bee-killing pesticides on 13.9 million acres. Why? We have too many bees? Actually, we don't have enough bees.
That's
so
right.
we're going to kill some of what we've got left, because the crops of cotton and sorghum in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, my favorite corrupt state, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia want to use it. So 11 states have been granted the approvals for 4 consecutive years of the same emergency, and they're going to spray these biological killers. Now, you got to ask yourself, if it can kill a bee, or if it can kill an insect, why would we think that it wouldn't be dangerous to us? Why not? So let me tell you another story really quickly. So in Virginia.
Well, for a while there, they were blaming it on RF. They were blaming it on cell phones. And we know there was just the pesticide. I think they proved that. Well, it was the pesticide they were using. They were killing the bees. Yeah.
I think it's all of it. I think we're disorienting the bees because of the wavelength of the cellular frequencies. It's about a small multiple of the length of the antenna on the bees. But back in Virginia, when we lived there, there was a bag of this stuff that fell off a truck. And so a farmer saw it and he went over and said, oh, it's tobacco insecticide. So he called the EPA. They came over and a couple guys in a pickup truck, and they had a stainless steel drum, a barrel, and they scooped this up. They put the respirators on. They looked like moon suits. And they shoveled this all into a stainless steel bag, or I'm sorry, in stainless steel drum, and for dumping it someplace else, I guess. And why is that? Because tobacco insecticide is so toxic that when it's sprayed, about every 100 feet, you have to post a sign that says, this is what was sprayed, this is the day it was sprayed, and the safe reentry date is whatever the date is, like 10 days later. How do I know?
Vincent, we got more calls coming in. I want to get these calls in from Texas. Bruce, you're on the show.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, mentioning the tobacco pesticide, that's interesting. I wonder if that's the major carcinogen in tobacco rather than the tobacco plant itself.
I would think the answer is probably yes, because if you look at the people who were 80 and 90 who smoked all their lives before these tobacco companies started rolling and putting filters on for you, they didn't have tobacco insecticides. I owned a tobacco farm with a tobacco barn in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I didn't grow it, but I bought it, and it was growing tobacco at the time. And that's how come I know this stuff is so deadly.
I see. Pretty disturbing stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
I'm noticing, talking about bees, I've noticed insects are almost gone. I'm in my 50s, so I remember back when I was a kid, up to about maybe about 10 or so years ago, you would have, street lights would be swarming with small bugs, unless it's freezing outside, and you'll have insects and life, and it's like, I don't see birds anymore, and I don't see flying insects like I used to, occasionally it was like a mutated grasshopper will fly into my car once in a while, and that's about it. I don't know. Am I imagining things, or is this
no,
real killer?
No, you are not imagining. It's absolutely, it's true. The insects are almost disappeared. The birds have almost disappeared, and we got to stop throwing gum out the window.
Yeah, I agree.
And the
hey,
cell
Bruce, phone. I need to move on here. I got two more callers that I don't want to cut anybody off. Thank you for your call. Mike in Colorado, you're on the show.
Hey, Stephen, Vince, about 6 or 7 years ago, a big trash company out here in the metro area of Colorado got sued to actually recycle the things they claimed they were recycling. It's a company known as BFI, also Bruno Franco Incorporated.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Because that's what they do. But their facility got sued out here.
Yeah, BFI is number one. Allied Waste is number two.
That happens all the time. Also, real quick, Vincent. I loved your nonsense show today. I was going to call, but I didn't want to ruin it for the dumb people.
We got some heat over that.
did you do another double speak?
We did last week. And,
okay.
I guess it ran.
All right.
We played again today. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Next call coming up. Texas Earl, you're on the show.
Yes, sir. Good evening. I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, what's your comment?
Okay, I hope I'm on point. You had made mention of water in Camp Lejeune. Well, when I got out of boot camp in Parris Island, I went up to Camp Lejeune for further training back in 68, and I had heard nothing about no water issue up there at that particular moment in time, and now I'm just hearing about it now.
Okay, so go to your favorite search engine. I hope your favorite search engine is not Google, but go to your favorite one and type in pollution Camp Lejeune. You'll find it. Big deal.
Yeah, use DuckGo.com. That's what I use.
So in other words, what you're saying, they was hiding something up there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can't dump toxic chemicals on the ground and think it's just going to go away. It's going somewhere. Some of it
goes toxic in. Chemical?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay.
Earl, do you have any health effects that you think might be attributed to this?
No, I couldn't say that from Camp Lejeune area. No, sir. Because I wasn't there that long anyway, except for training for about 16 weeks and gone.
That's long enough to be exposed. Just curious. Okay. Mm. All right.
Anything else? I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it. Thank you, Earl.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
I've got a question for you, Steve.
Yeah.
I've got a question. How many breaks did we blow by?
I know what you're going to say. Medical waste, right? Medical waste?
No, I was going to say, well, that's another problem.
That's
burning
a huge
hospital
problem.
Waste in the middle of the night. How many commercial breaks did we blow by today?
How many what?
Commercial breaks did we blow by, not use?
We blew by two. Two breaks, yeah.
Why don't we do it all the time?
We could.
Above our pay grade.
I don't know. I think John probably likes to do that. But I did it because we had so many in the feed here, and I wanted to make sure we got everybody. And I figured, what the heck? Why not?
I like doing that. I like going past the breaks.
I don't like people dropping. I don't like people dropping. So I want to make sure we get to everybody. And we got to everybody tonight, except one person who dropped. But that's okay. Not a problem. Overall, I thought it was successful. Good topic.
If we're ever let back on, he can call back.
Yeah, sure. he can do that. I gave him that chance. I said call back if you had a chance. Yeah.
I told you
so
not to talk
did we discuss the carbon credits while we got a little bit of time here, the carbon credits buying and selling? We didn't really talk about that much, did we?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
You don't?
I don't understand. No, I don't understand how somebody can pull
buying and selling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't understand how somebody can.
It's not good because if you don't use them, you can sell them to somebody else who's going to pollute. So you really aren't accomplishing much of anything. You're still polluting. You're just allowing somebody else to pollute a little bit more because now they have credits to do so. It's not a good policy.
That's what I'm talking about. How can you allow pollution? And well, you didn't pollute enough, so you can sell your allotment, whatever's left of your allotment,
right,
to somebody
right,
else
what's
to
left.
Make up for it.
Right.
Your lack
right.
of pollution.
Right.
And who gets the money?
Huh. I would assume the EPA, the people I want to get rid of, I would think them. It's crazy. I think that's our out music here. Thank you for listening tonight. Appreciate you listening in, calling in. Vincent Finelli, thank you for joining me tonight. One last message. I always like to end my shows with this. Jeffrey Epstein is not dead. John Stadmiller back in the talk again.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.